Welcome to the Power User Podcast, brought to you by NeoWin.net and WinCustomize.com. In this segment, we're talking about some hot topics in tech news. Returning to the show are Derek Batting, NeoWin Site Supervisor, Brad Wardell of Stardock Corporation and regular contributor, and Todd Tanner, NeoWin Game and News Contributor. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
All right. Hello. How you doing?
Pretty good. Todd, I understand you're in the middle of, sort of on the tail end, I guess, of Katrina.
Yes, we are.
Okay, so if we hear any thunder in the background, we know what's going on out there.
Yes,
God is seeking vengeance on the southeastern part of the U.S. No? Okay. Hopefully not.
I'll look at a flip around and come back around again.
Okay, yeah, well, hopefully not. So how are things going down there, Todd? Is everything okay in your neck of the woods at the moment?
Aside from some thunder? We had a direct hit the other day when it first came through. We had a 90-mile-per-hour wind gust here.
Wow.
Overpass actually blew over or something like that.
Wow.
I'm not quite sure.
Wow.
And we had down in Miami, they had like 22 inches of rain. So, yeah, it was pretty bad, actually.
Yeah, pretty scary stuff. Well, Glad to hear you're still alive and kicking.
Why, thank you.
All right, so the first thing that we want to talk about this week is the Halo movie. Woohoo!
Yay,
a movie. Derek, what can you tell us about the Halo movie?
It will be as good as Super Mario Brothers, because I think that's the question we're all
Oh, no!
Surely not. Surely not that good.
That was the greatest video game adaption ever.
All right, Halo movie, Derek.
Yeah, they finally got their deal. Got it all solidified. It looks like after shopping around for about a year, Universal and 20th Century Fox agreed to pay them $5 million plus a capped percentage at 10% of all domestic box office receipts.
That is pretty steep on the box office receipts.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
That's a really good deal, actually. They originally wanted $15 million plus 15% of the box office receipts in the U.S. and Canada, and nobody would touch it.
I can imagine not. That's, I mean,
you don't
box
get a deal like that.
Yeah, no, you really don't. Not even Halo. Historically, video game or movies based on video games haven't always done all that well at the box office. So, what do you guys think? How is Halo going to do?
It depends. With the Doom movie coming out, I think people are going to compare it to that. You know, because you're taking the same style of game and putting it into a movie. And if Doom comes off really strong, I think people have more hope for Halo. But if it comes off more like, what was the one with Mila Jovovich?
Resident Evil.
Yes.
Exactly, yeah. That wasn't getting the best reviews in the world, either of them. So you can kind of look at that and go, oh, they never work. You know, we'll just have to see. We'll have to wait and see. There's no director yet. No one's been officially cast. As far as casting, nobody knows yet, so it's hard to say.
They've just spent a lot on the script.
Exactly. They just got the deal inked, and they're shooting for a summer 2007 release. And the movie will be based on both Halo and Halo 2. And they're going to fight aliens, and that's it.
And it's going to be awesome, maybe. We can only hope. Well, you know, with a movie, it's like all of the elements have to come together to make it a really good movie. You can have a mediocre movie if you, say, have not such great acting, maybe. Like, if just one element is missing, maybe you can pull it out still. But for a movie like Halo, it's all action, so hopefully it can really, you know, hopefully they'll try and do something good with it. In keeping with the video game theme of the moment, Todd, Sony has created Sony Station Exchange, which to me is pretty new. Kind of exciting, actually. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, it's been around for a little over a month now, I believe, that they launched it officially. They were beta testing it for a little while before then. And what it is two or three specific servers that you're allowed to play on, and you're allowed to trade items and characters from the game on the server. It's sort of like an auction type of thing. And as most Neowinians know, most MMO companies do not look kindly on character selling and out-of-world, so to speak, stuff like that. So
we're talking about being sold for actual
money,
real
money, yes.
Right? Like on eBay.
So what they you have either you make a character on the new server, or you can transfer your characters and possessions onto the new servers. And you can leave the game, go to the exchange, I believe it's just a regular website, and you use real money, real world money, and you can buy and sell the virtual game items, say like a really cool axe that you got from a really cool monster that you killed, or a high-level wizard that you have, or some platinum in the game, money-wise, that you could sell. And I believe from the article I read that one man actually sold his level 50 sage for $2,000 on the exchange there.
Holy moly!
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
That is... And,
first, how many hours of effort did it take? I mean, for an hourly job, would it be a dollar an hour?
Well, here's the thing, you know, and I don't want to start a war here with Neowin, but, you know, the best comparison I have is with World of Warcraft, okay? I have both games, and... In World of Warcraft, in a little over a week, I've gotten a character up to level 42. The cap is 60.
Yeah, but how many hours did you have to play to get to that level?
A little over 200 right now.
Okay.
Give or take. In EverQuest 2, in a month, I couldn't get up to 50, which is the cap. It's just much deeper and harder in EverQuest to level up that way. So this guy that sold his level 50 Sage, he probably put who knows how many hours into the game.
Right, so it's certainly not
it's a
profitable venture to do it that way. So you're like, wow, $2,000 is a lot. Well, I hate to, as a one of those weasels that would probably be tempted to buy that, I could see myself, I hate to say everyone's going to be making fun of me forever for this, but I've never done this, but I could be tempted to be one of those guys if I, because I don't have that kind of time. My World of Warcraft character is only level 40, and I've been playing since the internal beta of World of Warcraft.
Right, well, that's... Really, that's what I think, why these people will go in specifically to these servers and create these characters, as the thunder goes off in the distance, and they will create these characters or transfer them over, and they will build them up as much as possible to the best gear and the best items and everything, and sell them so that people, like, you know, some newbie that comes along that has never played an MMO before will see that and say, hey, you know, for... I don't know, $500, let's say, I can buy that character and have the top-end character on the server and just go in there and just, you know, have fun and not have to worry about leveling.
Yeah.
And yeah, you don't have to worry about leveling or questing, really. Just go in there and have some fun.
And previously, you wouldn't have made any money from it.
Right. Well, no, you could, not officially, of course. Some games, it's actually your account would be banned if they found out you did stuff like that. There's been plenty of people in World of Warcraft that specifically go and farm, quote unquote, for gold, and they'll sell that in, you know, offline websites or whatever on eBay.
See, it's smart that Sony's turned around and instead of saying, you know, if we find out you've done this, we're going to ban you, and has turned around and said, not only do we allow it and encourage it, we'll facilitate it. You know, we'll turn this into a service for you. If this is what you're going to do and this is what you want to do, let us help you out. And
for
in
percentage.
Turn, and yeah, in turn, we'll take 10%. We'll charge you $1 to list items or $10 to list a character, and everybody's happy. I mean, the average user, they're reporting now in the first 30 days, the average person spends $70, already spent $70 per person on the average in 30 days alone. I mean, they've already seen $180,000 in transactions in 30 days. So it's only going to get huge, you know, not just bigger, but massive.
See, Sony is you know, they've been in MMO business since it started. Okay, they have EverQuest, which is EverCrack,
right.
And they have EverQuest 2, which of course isn't quite as popular as EverCrack, but still it's fairly popular. And they get a 10% commission on every sale. They get a charge of $1 for a listing fee for any currency or other item, a $10 listing fee for a character. I mean, it adds up there. They could, you know, they were smart, like you said, to do this finally. And I probably down the road, I wouldn't be surprised if Blizzard or one of the other MMO companies does the same kind of thing.
I wouldn't be surprised either. And in fact, I think Sony has said that they don't have any plans of doing this for their other currently running MMOs, but in the future, they're looking to do that for future games that they create.
I think it's smart business. Yeah, it's definitely smart business. If they open it up to other games, it's only going to get bigger, and then it'll eventually become the norm. You know, it's offering people something that's regulated where they can feel safe in an environment and not wind up getting ripped off like so many do on eBay. You know, they don't have to sneak around, worry about whether their 50th level character is going to wind up getting banned because they went to eBay. You know, I think it's a smart move on Sony's part.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks very much, guys. That's very enlightening, actually. I'm going to change the topic just a little bit here. WinFS, the word on the street is that Microsoft has just last week put the finishing touches on the first beta release of WinFS. Brad, I know you don't know anything about Microsoft stuff, so wake up.
We're
doing a show here.
Yeah, trying to download porn from these .xxx areas, but
we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
God, I can't. Right now, I'm very interested, but in a second or two, I'll be totally lose all interest.
Right.
Oh yeah, WinFS, which is often called WinFS for file system. It does not stand for file system; it stands for future storage. Is Microsoft's next generation attempt to organize data across on your local hard drive and on your network. And the way they want to do this is with an SQL database. And a lot of people in the industry kind of expected Microsoft to go in this direction some years ago because they figured, well, how does Microsoft compete with Oracle? And I remember talking to Dvorak about this at the time and said, I bet you that Microsoft will find some excuse to bundle SQL into the system. In fact, that was what started Stardock ThinkDesk some years ago, was in preparation for that day. And indeed, Microsoft is moving forward with an SQL database version layer on top of NTFS for people to organize their programs. And at the upcoming PDC, I guess Microsoft is going to start letting developers know that WinFS may actually make it out in time to ship with Windows Vista, which would be a huge, huge shock. And personally, I do not think that's going to happen, but I've been wrong many times before. But what
WinFS, WinFS Beta 1 is available on MSDN for download right now as an ISO. It's about 76 meg.
Cool. And I mean, once you have now, it's I haven't got to try it out, so I don't know how fast it is. But in theory, theoretically, if WinFS does everything it promises to do, you'll be able to organize your data as you see fit. You won't be constrained by the existing 20-year-old file system architecture we kind of have today with C:\ program files. You'll be able to put things however you want because it'll be abstracted and deal with it like a database. I mean, if you think about it, neowin.net, wincustomize.com, they're just skins on top of a database. I mean, I could take if I could use Neowin's database, I could create a whole new way of displaying the exact same information, all because of the way the data is handled in a database. With WinFS, the same thing could be done with your files. And if you have a Microsoft server that's WinFS enabled, then you could potentially do it across your network, which would be quite interesting.
So it basically takes everything that's been standardized on the web as far as calling and spewing back data and putting that on the desktop machine for the average user and putting an easy interface on top of it.
Well, there's a whole bunch of SQL developers at this point, right, in the evolution of the personal computer. And once those developers are unleashed to be able to deal with your file system as a database, one can only imagine the kinds of tools that will suddenly be available for organizing your stuff. Because let's face it, I mean, here, Derek, how big is your hard drive on your machine right now?
My C drive is 120 gig.
Yeah, so all right, so you're a loser. But I mean non-losers have like half a terabyte at 500 gigs is on a new system, easy. And so you can imagine of course here I am with my puny laptop with only has 80 gigs. But my loserness was already well established. But a lot of people have 500 gigabytes on their home computer. Trying to find something is a pain, and that's why programs like Google Desktop have been such a godsend, but those things are still pretty primitive compared to what a fully SQL database abstraction of your files and other data could become.
A lot to look forward to, it sounds like.
Yeah,
I'm speechless.
We just say, boy, is that cool.
Boy, is that cool.
I wouldn't know cool. I'm a loser.
Well,
yeah.
Apparently.
You know, it is better than cats. I shall see it again and again.
All right.
I laughed. I cried. It became
Derek,
a part of
me. Well, remember, you're a big man compared to me. I've only got 80 gigs.
I have 40, so.
All right, now that we've just established the size of everybody's hard drive, can we move on?
Well, you know, it's not the size of the hard drive that matters. It's how it's used.
It's what you do with it.
Right. Exactly. I mean, are you compressing your data?
All
right,
enough. Enough of that. We're going to move on now. I am officially changing the topic. Peer-to-peer shift from BitTorrent to eDonkey.
Ooh,
Derek,
oh boy.
What do you know about that?
Well, thank God that software piracy can be made more efficient than ever. Oh, no, I know. Everyone, go ahead. Everyone's going to flame me that say, no, there's legitimate uses for peer-to-peer. And indeed, there are. There are lots of good legitimate uses for peer-to-peer. But let's be real. If you were to do a measurement of does anyone know offhand the percentage of ISP traffic these days is thought to be peer-to-peer file sharing?
Yeah, between 50% and 70%.
Yeah, if you had to guess how much of that is illegal files being or copyrighted material being transferred, what would you guess?
I would say more than not.
Right,
certainly.
Right. Certainly more than 50%.
If we're
talking about
strictly peer-to-peer traffic, then yes, definitely.
Well, I think we can pretty efficiently say that, in fact, it is mostly illegal traffic, because the reason that the shift is happening from BitTorrent is because of the crackdown from Hollywood.
That's exactly it. Yeah, well, CacheLogic did a little survey here last year and this year and compared their findings, and they found that more people have switched over to eDonkey from BitTorrent, and they think it's probably because of the ISPs that are getting called with court orders and all the people that are getting sued, you know, the Motion Picture Association of America and the recording industry and all these lawsuits that are going all over the place. You know, it used to be CASA was the big thing, and then all the lawsuits went out and everyone scattered for something else they thought was more private or more secure. And then, you know, everybody found BitTorrent and they thought, oh, they can't possibly find us here because everything's decentralized, and that's just not the case. So now they're scrambling back to eDonkey to see if they can cover their butts a little better.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, peer-to-peer, my God, we could do a whole hour-long show at least probably on that topic.
And we will.
and we will bore you to death with it. No, I'm kidding. But people need to understand. I think a lot of people honestly don't seem to understand that just because you can get something doesn't mean it's legal for you to download it. Just because the peer-to-peer technology is legal doesn't mean that everything you get out there is legal.
Well, then you have the wares users who will rationalize it up the wazoo. Oh,
right.
Software's too expensive. They're ripping me off. I wouldn't have bought it anyway.
They're all
already
rich.
Oh, if it's any good, I'll buy it. And they'll give examples of several things that they've bought after they've waresed it. And, you know, I mean, you're talking to a guy who basically doesn't put any copy protection on his stuff, because I think piracy is over, you know, way overestimated, but still, you know, call a spade, if you're waresing stuff, you're a pirate, and
mm-hmm.
you know, don't
you're stealing stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You're stealing. Don't wiggle out of it, and that's why. I don't try to tell me that most people using BitTorrent or whatever aren't using it for downloading, you know, movies or songs or software, because that's what they're doing. You'd not need a generic search. I mean, World of Warcraft. I'm not downloading my World of Warcraft updates through some sort of search engine. I mean, Microsoft's using peer file sharing. I believe they actually use BitTorrent, don't they?
Blizzard does, yeah.
Yeah, Blizzard does. But I mean, they're in control of it. They're, you know, they're taking care of the torrents or whatever, and or whatever. whatever the latest term is. You can tell how up to date I am on the terminology. But the fact
loser.
Is that yeah, loser. Hey, I only have 80 gig hard drive.
80 meg hard drive.
80 meg, all right.
80 meg, yeah. Hey, when I was young, we didn't have. I just don't like it when people try to rationalize out that's not what it's being used for. It's like, bull. It's being used mostly for piracy.
Yes,
you know,
yes, you're
said.
Very smart. Yes, we understand.
I went to college. I went to college for 15 and a half years, and I may not have graduated.
All right.
Hey, Todd, you still with
yes.
us? I seem to be hearing a lot of thunder in the background there.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Died yet?
Well, I'm glad to hear
got better.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you very much, Brad. I think we do need to do a peer-to-peer show, but we're going to have to
save
that.
Then I can rant for the entire segment.
Well, you won't be on it.
Oh,
I
see.
Totally getting other people.
Yeah, they're going to have only people with 100 gigabyte hard drives or better will be allowed on, and so I'll be stuck.
That's exactly right. Either you go buy one or... Okay. Well, you got to have a space for all that stuff you downloaded, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Triple X Domain.
Oh, yeah, finally. What was this other stuff even about? Why were we talking about this other junk when there was all the Triple X stuff?
I'm just
going to
be disconnecting you now, Brad, so we can discuss this. All right. Now, you be silent, and I will try and give a summary here. For those
How big's your hard drive?
A lady never tells.
That's right. 1.21 gigabytes.
Yeah. Surely it must be 18 terabytes. I don't know. No. Anyway, Stuart Lawley, an entrepreneur who's currently from Florida. He's apparently taken some time off because he hit it big just before the dot bomb. He's trying to create what some people are calling the equivalent of an internet red light district. He wants to create the .XXX domain. He's actually not a pornographer, but he sees a business opportunity in that he can create this .XXX domain, sell the websites for $70 to $75 a pop, and make some money. You know, it could be a good thing, could be not necessarily a good thing, because...
It's about time someone saw the potential of porn on the internet, because, you know, up until now, where do you even get porn? I mean, you have to... On the internet.
It's
impossible to
find. I don't know. Can you use Google or something?
Right.
Sure.
What the hell is Google? What are you talking about?
You can just go to whitehouse.com and find, it's everywhere. It's out there.
What was that domain again? I'll be back with you in a minute.
There is two ways of looking at this, I think. One is that if there's a .XXX domain, it might be easier to block those domains if you don't want to, obviously you won't just accidentally stumble across some website. If you've got your kid who's trying to do some government report and they go to whitehouse.com instead of whitehouse.gov, that kind of thing can't happen.
Yeah, but is that, if I'm running on my various porn sites, that I run, I want people to accidentally, I don't necessarily, officially I would not want to admit that, but, there's got to be a reason why they call it whitehouse.com and not white,
Exactly.
They do want people to
they do
go
want
to
people.
It.
Right.
You take out the teenagers from the equation and, it's a much smaller business.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Porn is here to stay, I think. I don't think there's any getting around that. I mean, as much as various entities might wish to get rid of it.
The big hullabaloo about the XXX domains right now is not so much trying to force the pornography sites to use the domain and making all that money off of it. It's all the push from people like the Family Research Council. I mean, even, it's been thrown back and forth between conservative religious or political groups, why it should happen, and then others are coming along and saying, no, this will never work, or it's not necessary, or the internet's already too polluted with it, why bother? It's going to take more time, more litigation, the whole thing. It's just been one big debate after another,
And even if the United States finally decided to pass a law saying that all X-rated websites have to be on a .xxx domain, how do you enforce it overseas?
Well,
exactly.
How do you? I mean, I don't think there is. How can you? I just don't see how that's possible.
Can't. And if the U.S. tried to strong-arm it, you just add fuel to the fire of the resentment that the U.S. controls the root domain.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, the Family Research Council recently demanded that the Bush administration do something about making a decision about the .XXX domain. And what they decided to do was table it. They just put it on hold. So who knows?
A brave
what...
decision.
Yes, isn't it? So maybe they're hoping that their term in office will run out and somebody else will have to deal with it. Apparently, the .XXX domain is for adult content websites. That means that pornography would be on this domain, but it would also be, let's say, sex education websites that have specific pictures of, various parts would be forced
what
to be in the
doctor. What parts, Kristen, are you referring to?
I can't explain them to you, Brad. You're just going to have to find out on your own. Oh. You have to do a little bit of research. But
you'll have to go to poweruser.xxx for that.
Oh, touche.
Yes, indeed. So, a site that was specifically geared toward education would not be pornography, but it would have these specific images and therefore would be forced into a pornography domain. It doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, so WebMD would theoretically have to have a XXX domain name.
Boy, it's such a convoluted story, and the more you think about it, the harder...
It's a very complex issue.
The harder it is to really sort of disseminate, because...
I just find a hard time just taking the whole issue that seriously, because it's not going to happen. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the government can't really do anything. This might have been an idea, 10, 20 years ago. Well, all right, not 20, 10 years ago, it might have been possible to do something like this, but now it's way too late to get that going. It's only going to work if the porn producers actually see a financial incentive to do it that way. And they might. There might be angles where they can make money that way. But in terms of the government trying to do it, it's never going to happen.
The real issue here is not so much forcing them to use the XXX domain. That's only one very small part of the big picture that's happening here. I mean, they've already... one example is a proposed tax on adult websites. Another bill approved by the House of Representatives would boost fines for broadcasting indecency, on cable and TV networks. More censorship as far as music and movies are concerned. The whole thing, this is just wrapped up as one small part of the internet portion of the overall censorship that's coming down through the Senate and the House of Representatives and government in general.
I'm just hoping my PC doesn't explode.
I can hear the thunder in the background there. It's God. He's coming for us.
Now, can you show us a storm? Oh, wait. No, it's audio.
Yeah, too bad. Sorry.
It's not like CNN if you want to hear about how they just discovered FTP.
FTP? Oh,
what's that?
Yeah.
That's as bad as that goggle thing you were talking about earlier.
You didn't hear one of the CNN anchors said that they were using a new technology called FTP. For the reporters to upload pictures to the broadcasting center.
Oh,
you can send
boy.
Pictures and video over computers.
Yeah.
What?
Those
were
her exact words.
What is this? Suppose that, this isn't Flash Gordon.
Well,
wonder if they were using Windows
97.
Modern.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were using Windows 97.
Yeah,
that's it.
I'm sure they must have been.
They need to use the BitTorrents. I hear that you can get that on the Windows.
Yeah. Hey, what browser do you use? I use... Windows. That's
the Windows
I
Internet.
I
thing.
Do. I use Windows. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Windows.
The Windows.
I use
yes.
the Windows.
All right. Enough
on,
making
on
fun
the
of
interweb.
Other
people. It makes me feel
welcome
like a big man.
Yeah,
welcome
Mr.
to the world of tomorrow.
Drive.
God's
hey.
Telling me not to make fun of CNN anymore in the background there.
Yeah, I heard it. Okay. Well, in the hopes of keeping Todd from getting struck by lightning because he's got his computer and various other electronic equipment on, I think we're going to cut this one off about right now. But thank you, Derek,
yay.
Brad, and Todd for joining us. I really appreciate it. Todd especially for sitting through the thunder. Thank you for listening, everyone. This podcast was brought to you by neowin.net and wincustomize.com. Support us by subscribing to us on iTunes, Podnova, or odeo.com, and look for us every week at www.poweruser.tv.